What was life like 100 years ago? The year would have been 1924. I did a little bit of research. A lot has changed in the past 100 years. The global population was 1.9 billion. Only 1.9 billion 100 years ago. Most people, most households did not have an automobile, did not own a car. Actually, a story comes to us from our family, from my father's side. It was my great aunt Jess. And the story is that she was walking to elementary school one day, and she was there walking with a friend, and just, this is like rural Ontario, a little kind of dirt road, and they heard this loud noise, this growling noise, and it was so loud that it scared them, but it was coming from behind them somewhere around the corner. They didn't know, and so it got louder and louder. It was coming around the corner, so they jump into the ditch, and they peer up over the grass in the ditch and look at this thing as it comes towards them, and it's got these two fiery eyes, and it just comes by and it just zips past them. Of course, later they realized that that was a truck. It was the first automobile they had ever seen. They had never seen one before. And this is within living memory until recently of someone who's lived in the past 100 years. So many things have happened. There was the Great Depression in the 30s. Around this area, up to 30% of adults were unemployed, higher in other parts of the country. There was obviously World War II between 1939 and 1945. Also the moon landing, that's big. Right, the moon landing, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. The rise of the internet has been powerful and has changed how we live, right? Really through the 80s and the 90s, more on a popular level takes off. In the 90s, one sociologist said that he figures that there's more people using cell phones today around the world than toothbrushes. Now, I don't know how you get a stat like that, but hey, he seemed to know what he's talking about. A bit more of a concrete stat, there are 500 hours of new content uploaded to YouTube every minute. 500 hours. In your average iPhone that's in your pocket, there is 100,000 times more processing power in that than there was in the computer that sent the original Apollo spacecraft to the moon. That much change has happened, especially with respect to technology, even flights, international flights. And I've done this one, but we went from Toronto to Hong Kong. You can take a direct flight in less than 16 hours. So much has changed. And so if you got into a time machine and you went back 100 years and you tried to convince your ancestors of all the crazy change that has happened, they'd say, "You're crazy." Let's think ahead. What about what life might be like in 100 years from now? The year would be 2124. One thing's for sure, we will not be the 51st state in America. I just had to get that in there. But in all seriousness, if the population continues to grow at the same rate that we saw in the last 100 years, the world would have a population of over 35 billion. One of the realities that we're facing is the advancement of AI, or artificial intelligence. And really just starting to scrape the surface of the significance of all that and what it might mean for human living. C.R. Wiley, who's a professor and an author, he says that so much with what is going on with artificial intelligence is like a tsunami just waiting off the shore of human existence. And are we even aware of the Pandora's box that we are already opening? Someone who is heavily involved in media and technology globally says that he thinks that in 100 years, we will all have personal robots. I don't know. He said, imagine having your own C-3PO or R2-D2. Except, you know, with AI and Siri, the technology and the movement would be way more advanced than those basic droids. But if someone in 2124 got into a time machine and came back to our time and tried to convince us of the kind of change that was existing in 100 years from now, what might we say about what they are saying to us? You're crazy. The level of change is incredible. And so we might think of this as the great unknown as we look upon the future, the great unknown. And when we look upon this type of change, this type of possible upheaval, it can be scary. It can weave fear into your thinking and into your life. It can be kind of unsettling in so many different ways. And so what I want to do this evening is invite us to think about this type of uncertainty and the great unknown in a bit of a different way. And here's what it is. What happens is not as important as who it happens with. Okay, so what happens is less important than who it happens with. Now, let me kind of explain what I mean with an illustration. So kids, generally speaking, aren't always that smart. Okay, so not my own kids. My kids are here. Sorry. I'm talking like toddlers. You're very smart. Think of toddlers, okay? We all love toddlers. We were all toddlers at one point. We love toddlers, the crying, the saliva, the whole thing. But when you think about it, toddlers really don't know much about what is happening in their day-to-day existence because they're so dependent upon their caregivers, right? So a toddler, you know, gets up in the morning, doesn't know what the agenda for the day is, doesn't know if there's enough food in the fridge, doesn't know if the house is going to be secure at night, right? And the toddler really doesn't need to know those things. The toddler just needs to know that they are with someone they trust and who loves and cares for them, right? And so the parent or the grandparent or the guardian, whoever it happens to be, they need to know the day plan. They need to know there's enough food in the fridge. They need to know that the house is going to be secure at night. And so in this illustration that I'm weaving for us, we're the toddlers. And God is God. Now, one of the things that we focus in and learn on at Christmas is that one of the names for Christ is Emmanuel. And it's up there in the Hebrew letters. Emmanuel literally means God with us. So not like metaphorically, symbolically, God is actually with us in the person of Christ. And so when you think about that, as we head into an uncertain future, nothing that happened over the past 100 years was a surprise to God. And nothing that will happen in the next 100 years will be a surprise to God either. That's why it's not really the unknown if you're not alone. It's not really the unknown if you're not alone. And this has been a source of confidence and strength and security and wisdom for God's people for eons. Okay, so let's think back to my great-great-aunt Jess, right? She was going along the road and, you know, the monster with the eyes, really it's just an automobile. Think about all the change that happened in her lifetime, right? And yet on December 24th, on Christmas Eve, on a night just like this one, she would have gathered with family and friends in a church maybe a little bit like this one. They would have had candles like the ones that you were given. And they would have sung this first verse to Silent Night, as we will do shortly. And someone would have opened the Bible to Luke 2 and read the same story that we read or Ben read tonight. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. And that would have been a source of security and strength no matter what that generation was experiencing or facing, that good news. Because with Christ, the good news is always bigger than the bad news, and a weary world can rejoice because of a Redeemer who is triumphant over demons and darkness, who offers hope when others are only offering despair, who gives peace and security with Lord God the Almighty when all everyone else can offer is uncertainty and doubt. And it's not truly the unknown if you're not alone. And with Christ, we aren't. Fast forward a little bit through a very difficult time in human history, radical global upheaval, World War II. Picture a bunker in Europe, three Allied soldiers there this very night, Christmas Eve, and the story comes to us. They're gathered there. They know the significance of the night. It's Christmas Eve, and they would rather be at home, obviously. But knowing the night, they get together, and one has a little match, and very discreetly, someone lights a match, and they sing the first verse of Silent Night, just as we will sing shortly. And one of them would have opened a little breast pocket, a little Bible, right? One of those little kind of small New Testaments that churches gave to people as soldiers went to fight overseas. And one of them would have read the same story that we are reading tonight. Behold, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with those on whom his favor rests. And people in that generation will be tethered to an eternal truth. Tethered to that. And that would give them great security and peace for whatever they are dealing with. Because with Christ, the good news is always bigger than the bad news. and a weary world can rejoice because of a Redeemer who triumphs over demons in darkness, who offers hope when others are only offering despair, and who gives us this great peace and security with God when all anyone else can offer is uncertainty and doubt. It's not truly the unknown if you're not alone. What's the alternative to that? Theologian J.I. Packer has a suggestion. He says, the alternative is to live like a pilot flying blind, always being taken by surprise and tyrannized by the immediate, the urgent, and the unexpected, experiencing life as a succession of emergencies that one is never ready to meet. That stinks, to live like that. And so what will life be like in 50 years from now, 10 years from now, 2 years from now? It's hard to know. But what happens is less important than who it happens with. Emmanuel, God with us. Let me leave you with this thought. Now, there was a young boy going through a really difficult time, and he was like 8 or 9, and he was going through things that a child should never really have to go through, right? And nothing from his own fault, but he had been through situations and trauma because of his context. But anyway, every day was new. Every day was uncertain. Every day, it seemed, there was some sort of reason to fear. We never want our kids to have to go through things like that. But he was living just with his father at the time. Middle of the night, he was having these bad dreams, and so he just didn't want to be alone. And so he gets up, and he goes over to his father's room, and he opens the door. It creaks open, and he crawls up into his father's bed, and he whispers, Daddy, is your face turned toward me? Is your face turned toward me? And the father, who responded, now, was he awake already? Was he awake because of the squeaking door? We don't know. But the father responds by saying, yes, son, my face is turned toward you. My face is turned toward you. And because of that, that was all that child needed to have that peace and security to fall back to sleep. Well, what will the world be like in 100 years from now, or even 10, or even 2? It is the great unknown, but in Christ, God with us, the face of God is turned toward you. The face of God is turned toward you, and we are tethered because of Christ to an eternal and unchanging truth. That with Christ, the good news is always bigger than the bad news. That in the midst of a weary world, we can rejoice because of a Redeemer who has triumphed over demons in darkness, who offers hope when others only offer despair, and who gives peace and security with God when all anyone else can offer is uncertainty and doubt. In Christ, it's not truly the unknown if you're not alone. Praise be to God. Amen.